Live from the Bill's Famous Cheese Spread Studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Behind me, after a one-week hiatus, the gang is finally all back together again. He is the poet laureate of the Blockout Sports Pod. He keeps track of our time, looks up pertinent information that we might need to find, and from time to time tries to keep us on track. You know him as Mr. Electricity. He is Whiteboard Jody. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna country Matt Kempf. And bellied up to the bar is
I don't know what's going on over here.
Grabbing his microphone with both hands.
Just a shaking.
He's just making a snake noise.
A man who asks the eternal Olympics question every 4 years. Will it be Dan or Dave? The fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
Dan or Dave? I remember that.
Remember
Reebok,
that?
Right?
Yeah.
Reeboks.
One of them didn't even make it.
Right. One of them didn't make it. Did you ever have any pump Reeboks?
Hell yeah. I had the Instapump with the CO2 cartridge.
That was them. They had a cross trainer that pumped, and then D. Brown from the Celtics, who won the dunk contest, did the pump.
I remember that.
What's the one with the cartridge? I remember D. Brown's.
It was like it had a little thing on it, like a little handheld device, and you would put a CO2 cartridge in it, and you would put it on this little like plug thing on your shoe and hit the button, and it just like squeeze your foot till it like felt like it was
it's
gonna
like
fall
a
off.
Rubber basketball that you pumped,
yeah,
like an air cast.
It wasn't a manual pump. It was
right.
Like an air pump.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
For those that don't remember, Reebok back in those days was really trying to compete with Adidas and Nike, and that would have been what was that for the 92 Olympics?
Yeah,
maybe?
I think it was.
And I don't remember which one. One was O'Brien, Dan or Dave. And so there were two guys that were going to be in the Olympic decathlon that were both expected to be at the top. And they did their whole Olympics, their whole advertising campaign was about, do you have Dan or do you have Dave? And I believe Dan was the one that made the Olympics, and Dave didn't even get out of qualifying, and it kind of put the kibosh on their entire advertising campaign. I don't know why that I was reminded of that just right before the show.
So then Tuna went to the mall and bought him some L.A. gear and British Knights.
Hey, did you ever have remember when Converse did the catapult?
No.
Was it Magic Johnson, maybe? He came out with a shoe where there was like a, inside the sole was this like spring action thing, and they called it a catapult.
Oh, I don't know. I know he was a Converse guy for a long time.
I have no recollection of that.
Yeah.
None.
I'll pull that up.
I'm not going to let you get away with not busting me on some attire here, bro, as you look like Shakur Sanders over there.
There's just a whole lot going on, and like I can't keep up with it week to week, man.
I'm TBT, baby.
I know you got your
Wayne
Turner jersey on.
I got my cats on for La Familia, and then Sparky's over there sparking it. And then I got my
Louisville Colonels hat,
which everyone's like Kentucky Colonels. No,
and is that the
Louisville Colonels, which is red, white, and blue, which is the Ville colors of the TBT team. All TBT tonight.
It's so funny.
Watch is huge. I know that.
You know.
That's a big watch.
Wait till you hear my list.
You call me Flavor Flav.
wait till you hear my list for top 10 rivalries because of this conversation. We'll get back to that.
Well, Dan and Dave were a rivalry, right, Travis?
Well, for about 2 months. 32 years ago. Want to remind everybody, we are on social media, on Twitter or X, as it's known now, at Blockout Pod. Type in Blockout Sports Pod into your Facebook search engine. We appreciate each and every one of you listening. Always want to remind everybody to, if you enjoy the show, to let somebody know. The only way this show grows is by word of mouth. And we appreciate the fact that our audience gets bigger every week, but it can never get big enough. So keep telling your friends, and we do appreciate everybody that listens. Right off the top, and as Fred and Tuna were talking about, the basketball tournament is going on right now. We're going to talk about that at length. But I wanted to start the show tonight talking about the British Open, or the Open, as it's known. You know, they don't even call it the Open Championship anymore. It's just the Open.
It's going to be the O in a couple years.
That's what I was listening to Katrick and McGinnis on SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio today.
Shout out Katrick.
They were saying something to that effect. Like every year they just chop off another word. So at some point they're just going to call it like the OPA, then the OP.
For a while I was calling it the Slopin'.
But I loved it. It had everything that I love about a British Open. It was on a classic course. The weather was horrendous for a lot of the tournament. The only thing I didn't care for, I was really hoping that Sunday was going to get totally chaotic and there were going to be three or four guys coming down the last two or three holes with a chance to win. But what can you say about Xander Schauffele? I mean, he was clearly the best player in the field.
The best putter.
And, you know, coming. Now, here's something that I thought about. You can't have two more diametrically opposed, not just tournaments, but courses and conditions than Valhalla and Royal Troon. And for him to win in both places is a pretty impressive feat that I'm not sure a lot of people saw coming. I certainly didn't have him selected in my top three or four guys, but hats off to him. Let's get into what you guys thought, and I know Fred has some thoughts about a particular player. I can't wait to get into this. But Tuna, I'm going to start with you. Thoughts about this year's British Open?
I hated it. I'm sorry, guys. I hated every minute of it. I didn't enjoy watching it. I thought the course looked like shit. It was ugly. It just looked miserable out there. I'm sorry just to crap on it, but all golf nerds that complained about Valhalla and like how easy it was, I will watch that tournament 1,000 times over before I watch what happened this past weekend. When they turned onto that back nine and that wind is just blasting in their face and nobody could hit the ball. They were talking about hitting a driver off of, for a par three. Like, I mean, what the hell?
I do that a lot.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's just, it wasn't for me, man. Like, I typically enjoy the Open. And this year, it just, I don't know if it's a Royal Troon thing or what, or if it was just this particular weekend, or maybe I was just grumpy every morning that I woke up. But I just,
it's literally
a Bloody Mary.
It's literally,
maybe so, man.
It's literally everything I love about golf.
I mean, you know, didn't you like when they put on their different? I like to see their different sweatsuit attire, rain gear.
Like I'm that's like, what Fred.
Yeah, I mean, if, yeah, I guess.
I'm like, I like Scheffler's. He had a sweet.
Again,
little,
man, wait till my top 10 comes.
That was
out.
Like deer hunting material. That
I usually lock
in
the golf
on.
Tournaments, especially Sundays. But this weekend, I found myself messing around and reading random shit on my phone while I'm trying to watch golf, and just could not stay into it at all. I don't know what it is, man, so I'm not going to crap on your
parade for it. Well,
I thought
it was a little bit
but
slow there on Thursday and Friday.
Yeah,
But it was fun when they did have to put the gear on. They're all wearing their hats backwards because water's dripping off of them. And like you said, Horschel looked like some dude that's playing at one of our public courses over here. He's got his Nikes on, and it looks like just watching them, you know, it's interesting when Tuna, maybe part of it is that you've never played in the rain golf. Cause I know
I've played golf in the rain.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, when you're playing golf and it starts raining,
Why would that make me want to watch it more?
Well, it's interesting when you're playing. Like, say we're playing at a public course and we're playing golf and a storm comes in. And one of us is playing great and one of us is playing like crap, da-da-da. And then it's interesting to watch and see if the other person's game changes based on the elements.
Yeah.
And I have found that I'm a very good rain player, and other people I've played with are not. And I one time was playing with my dad and all his buddies, and they were all kicking butt, playing great, and it started raining, and I just took over. And it was a mental game versus them, and it was just interesting and watching.
I think that's what I like about it because, you know, however many tournaments there are on the PGA Tour every year, whether it be like the John Deere or the – I always say that for whatever reason, I always say that, but
they
Harbor Town.
Stop play, right?
Or I mean, you can watch, you know, 50 tournaments a year or whatever played on immaculate courses in the United States with no wind, and the winning score is 28 under. I love – when these guys get faced with some adversity. I love the fact that on number 8, it's a 130-yard par 3, okay? There's two big-ass pot bunkers right and left, and then just past the green is what they called the coffin bunker, and that came into serious play on Saturday when Lowry and Jones both hit it in there. They have to hit it away from the flag stick. Lowry's goes clear off the green. He makes double. Like I love that.
Tanner and likes the postage stamp.
I was going to say the post. That's not the postage stamp though, right?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's there.
No. 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 No.
Yeah.
That is
but
the postage
that's
stamp.
Not the bunker, but that's the
no,
hole.
No. No.
The
no.
Hole.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
number
the
8 is the postage stamp.
Yes,
the green.
And
hole,
that's the one with the coffin bunker.
The coffin bunker is what it's called.
And
right.
I actually told I told my wife because one of my dreams is to go over to Scotland or Ireland to play golf, and I said,
"Well, don't bring
like,
tuna with you."
yeah, don't.
She said, "Well, you know, you can hear the." Hear the rain on because we were listening to on the radio as we were driving, and I said, "You know what? When I finally get to go over there and play, I said if it's not pouring down rain and the wind's not blowing at least 25 mile an hour, I will feel like I got totally gypped on this trip."
So, do you guys like watching like a football game? Oh, like it's just pouring down rain, you can't see shit.
Yeah, or
I do.
Over a regular like
snow. You don't like that? Like,
I like it.
Snow's different. Snow. Like
because it happens once or twice a year,
yeah,
just like the British Open does.
I guess, man.
That's
you guys,
why
you guys
I love
just
it.
Never played football in the rain. That's all.
Well,
that
that is a fact.
But,
that is a fact.
Well, and, you know, like it really is interesting to see what players are mutters. Okay, like when you like the
Derby in the rain.
When you're doing horse racing, you have certain horses that are mutters. They play. They're better.
I love the Derby in the rain as long as I'm not there.
Right, but they're better in the rain. They're better under wet conditions. And the same goes for golfers. Some golfers can't stand it. They hate it. They don't want their glove wet.
It's not the rain so much as the wind, man. Like,
yeah, no, I'm with you.
The wind drives me absolutely nuts. Like,
you don't like wind.
When it's like that and you're seeing these guys just get, like, raked across the coals from the, like, just because like the wind decides to pick up mid shot.
Well, Adam Scott was 230 out in the
Adam
fairway.
Scott plays really good in wet conditions.
And hit driver off the deck and killed it and barely made the green.
Adam Scott is a player that in past years that if you look at his track record, he plays well in bad weather. And he did it again.
I enjoyed the front nine, I guess, on Sunday, but the minute that they turned around, it was like it was Saturday too.
Well, and then it got better. I thought it was a treat watching the golfer that Danny, I call him Danny, watched his first major. He's out there gunning, running and gunning. And what was his name, Travis?
Daniel Jones,
Dan,
I believe.
No, that's a quarterback for the Giants. Was it Danny Jones?
Just to remind Colin.
Jody.
It was a burger.
No. This was a guy that
the guy that
in
ended up finishing in the top 10.
Yeah, Danny Trejo.
I had a blast watching that guy. Like, you could tell he loved playing in bad conditions. His putter was on fire, so, okay, I get it, why he was hot. But people like Chauvin, like, what about JT? You look at his score, he's like 5 under at one point. Then he's 6 over. Then he's 4 under. Like, the way that some of the players in the leaderboard was going up and down was insane, I thought. Shane Lowry, can I get into that for a minute?
Please
that
do.
That big buffoon. Like, I've never seen someone whine
Daniel
so much.
Daniel Brown.
Yeah. Danny Brown.
Yeah, Brown,
shot
sorry.
Kudos to
Danny Brown in his first major ever. He played great golf, I thought. He had a tough Sunday.
But he did finish it.
He finished in the top 10.
Tied for 10th.
So did his buddy.
Let me ask you this. When you watch the Open and the wind is like that and the rain is like that, are you watching to be like, man, this is going to be a great shot? Are you going, how bad is he going to screw this up?
Yeah, no.
That's the way you're watching.
Right.
That goes back to Tuna's point, and I agree with both sides. I like the competitive aspect of it and see who can create those shots. But from the viewer aspect that doesn't play much or at all and very little golf – they're going to turn that TV off.
But right. See, that's I think.
Yeah, I'm not tuning in to watch you guys play golf.
But I think the
But that's the key. You're watching one of the best players in the world.
I just think to each their own, man. You guys get into it. I don't.
I think the creativity that it takes for those guys to hit what on a normal course would just be a straightforward chip. Or a straightforward putt or whatever.
Right.
The creativity it takes at the British Open is something that is completely different. And that's
what your caddy really comes into play.
That's what I love. And I said it last week, and I personally, to me, this tournament was the best major all year long from a TV standpoint.
Right. I thought that to me. That Shoffley's caddy needs to be commended. I had not done research on him before, but I found out that he is a past, obviously, a scratch golfer. A lot of them are. But he was a past teammate of Shoffley's. And this guy, from what I read from other caddies and stuff, this guy is out on the course at nighttime going over... Like, for the reason that Shoffley is a great putter is really, I would say, 30 or 40% of that is going to his caddy and all the homework that he does. I'm not saying that they all don't do great homework, but the team that these two guys are right now is almost second to none right now. I don't know much about Scheffler's caddy. But I have heard from
rich.
I've heard.
I know that.
Right. Well, yeah.
He's got four Masters wins.
I've heard from other caddies that this guy for Shoffley is like, if they had a caddy competition, he would win it every year.
There's another one that's now retired that would beat him out. And do you know who that is?
I don't.
Faldo's old caddy, Fanny.
Okay, yeah.
He said she used to spend 10 hours on the course Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday before he teed off, walking different distances.
Yeah, and so it's just preparation and things of that nature, but sounds like Tuna needed preparation H.
yeah.
Watching the tournament.
I did.
But I'm getting into Lowry here. Like, Lowry, no one owes your buffoon ass anything. I know he likes to get fired up on the course, and he's a jolly old lad when he's drinking ale afterwards. But give me a break. All the complaining and whining that he did irritated the hell out of me. He was yelling at marshals and fans that he thought hit their ball. He didn't know really what happened, which I get. But
let me ask you guys a question
but
quickly.
Good God Almighty.
Yes, I would drink Budweiser out of the claret jug. No.
Have any of you guys ever played golf with the fabulous one over here?
What? I am a joy to play with.
Let me just tell you that for whatever Shane Lowry's antics might have been on the golf course,
he's been waiting to set me up for this. He just set me up for this.
I
played yesterday.
I just thought of this. When you hit your tee shot and you came over and slammed your club into the cart and said, I'd be better off just watching you guys play. This isn't even fun. This sucks.
You know, when I was young.
But I didn't yell at any neighbors or any patrons. No.
I used to play golf all the time. We were members out at South Park Country Club. We golfed all the time. I did it all through high school, all that. I kind of got away from playing golf years ago because of playing golf with people that threw fits on the golf course. It drove me nuts.
I'm being very facetious. Fred is very fun to play with.
But I get
But he does
get,
it's like
right
fishing with somebody that's always in the tree and they're just cussing the whole time because they don't know how to do shit. And you're like,
No. But no, I get it. And the cliche of golfing that good players or average players normally say is, hey, buddy, shut the hell up. You're not good enough to be complaining about shots. Go on and just play. And I get it. Yes, I do. But what happens is the competitiveness comes into play or whatever. It's not really that. It's just, no, I get it. I get it, Tuna.
But no, I understand
but
that.
But he's a professional.
It was a bad look from Larry because what you are talking about, for those of you that didn't watch the tournament, Lowry hit a ball that would have probably ended up out of bounds. It hit a patron, and it stayed in bounds and allowed him an opportunity to make par or bogey or whatever. Had it gone out of bounds, he's making double, triple, whatever. And he came up and laid into the group of people there and was like,
he had already been complaining the four holes before.
He was
that.
Like, you need to be out of the fairway. And I was like, well, that ball was not anywhere near the fairway. That thing was going.
And then he complained
OB.
About the setup on Sunday. And I'm like, dude, give me a freaking break. Like,
well,
what do you mean complain about the setup on Sunday?
That said, it happens every week. Sometimes you're not on the air because you're 10 strokes behind. But you got to look at Zach Johnson, one of the nicest guys on tour. He went off on a fan, 2 months ago?
Right, I know.
And tell him to F off.
And Terrell Hatton
else.
Is just
doesn't
like.
Sound like a nice guy.
Terrell
to me.
No. Hatton goes crazy every no. single.
Hatton
and,
is
but he's
the
funny
worst.
To watch, though. And so
but
I can't get mad.
He's 10 times worse than Lowry.
Oh, I know. And
he does that and. He'll do that in the John Deere Open.
Oh, yeah. And Jordan Spieth complains and whines all the time to his caddy.
But he only
gets on my nerves.
But he complains about himself.
How many sports do you guys watch where, like, none of the players don't go and complain?
I've never seen a pro slap player complain about crap.
Oh, buddy, you haven't watched enough pro slap. I've
got,
seen
got
a
hit
lot
too
of
hard on that one.
Yeah, I'll have a couple of words about Slap League.
Yeah, hey, McEnroe.
I want to know about the app.
I get it. I mean, John McEnroe built his career on doing that. I mean, Jimmy Connors. I mean, I get
Ilya
it.
Ilya Anastasi. Some of my favorite tennis players of all times were also the biggest whining assholes.
But anyways, no, I just wanted to – he was winning, and I black-catted him, and he went downhill right when I called him out, and I was happy after that. So,
should we change the name from Blockout
good
to Blackhat?
Yeah, I think so.
All four majors are over. Shoffley won two of them. He is our Louisville guy. I was extremely happy for him. He's going to win a lot more. He is, in my opinion, the best putter on tour when you put the whole package together. I think he has the best caddy on tour. And he is, like you said, he has everything. He don't have a weakness. So if
I just feel like golfers are so
Scheffler's putt has
so streaky.
Putting.
Like we'll have a guy just play like incredible for like 2 years, and then he'll fade off for like 5 or 6 years, and then he'll just pop back up out of nowhere.
Well,
like,
we'll say this: Shoffley is consistent.
I'm with you. But
and you
like,
went back to Horschel.
He got his two majors this year. He hadn't won one, and then he won a second one in the same year.
You know what happens to is they start get what the cliche is that they get. Especially a guy that's never won before, all these sponsors and all this attention comes to him. And they pretty much sit back and just take in that money and doing all getting new sponsors. And then
like,
they get new clubs.
Colin Morikawa was going to be the next Scotty Scheffler there for a while.
And then
it was like
it's hard to get back.
Jordan Spieth and JT and like all these guys. And then they just.
But Morikawa's there. Him and I mean,
I think Scotty Scheffler's probably the most consistent for the amount of time.
Well,
there,
there's no doubt.
And Shoffley is right there.
Shoffley's right there with
him.
I'm with you, but like he got his first major this year, and then he got the second one this year. Like, let's see if he can do it.
But
where
Shoffley and Scheffler are there all the time.
Shoffley's always been in the mix for a long time. Like, he's always finished up there.
Yeah.
But actually getting it done this year was something that he hadn't done.
So he's been consistent. Now I want to go back to Billy Horschel because on a text this weekend, you go, glad to see this guy's doing good. Number one, he's played well all year.
Yeah, he has.
Number two, you forget, he's a former FedEx champion.
Right.
He has won the FedEx
Cup.
That's
what it was. I knew – I thought he won the Players.
He's been consistent.
I knew he won a big tournament that wasn't a major, and obviously the Players is the fifth major, if you will. And it wasn't that. He won the FedEx. That's what I was trying to remember. But Billy Horschel is not on a leaderboard for a major ever.
But he's consistent through the season.
This week.
Through the season, he's.
I guess what I meant about consistent.
I mean, Billy Horschel was a breath of fresh air. I loved watching him play.
I mean, you're winning at the highest level, and that's what I was. That's what I meant by consistent. Not consistently in the top 10. You know what I'm saying? Like you're winning tournaments on a consistent basis, not necessarily majors, but tournaments. And
but
like,
even look back, I mean, what Shoffley finished in the Masters? He was. I mean, he was on leaderboard.
He's been up there every
time.
He's
always in the leaderboard. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying we'll see if he can keep up, like winning tournaments throughout.
I
want to
bring it back. Travis said something earlier about you want to see who can create shots when we talk about the open and the wind and the elements and everything else. In your opinion, and I have a stat actually, but who's the guy that played the open was the most consistent all time?
I'm going to say Tom Watson.
Bingo. Greatest wind player we've ever had. And Tiger is a distant second, and third is like three times further back than that.
Well, Tom Watson is the greatest British Open player that's ever lived.
Hell, he just had a chance, 5 years ago?
Huh. You would think it was 5 years ago.
Is it 10?
It was more than 10.
Yeah,
it was 2000 and I'm going to say 8, I think. It was a long time ago. But anyway.
What about Michael Mahalik?
he's
playing at some retirement home right now. Was that Dennis Bartlett?
What is this?
I don't know, but it looks more appealing than the Open Championship.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Look. That's that dude hangs out up at the pub.
Yeah,
I've seen him.
That ball.
Yeah. Tuna would rather watch these old fat guys hit it over a pond at Cherokee.
I think I like the how creative they have to be to get it over that swamp.
Maybe you need to ride in a cart and play with us one time. Just watch us play.
When you got a 48-inch
watch
waist.
Watch me and Keesler sit out a hole when we're ticked off.
When you have a 48-inch waist and have to bring that club down through.
Well, the FedEx is going to be fun. Golf's kind of going to sit down for a while. We'll get back
to
it.
So I guess they are having Olympics?
Yeah, dude. Shoffley's in.
Yes. Didn't we talk about this last week, how they're not doing it? And then now, like,
Shoffley's representing.
No.
Scheffler's in it. And
yeah.
Yeah.
What I said last week was that I wish that that golf had taken advantage of the fact that they could have made it a team event. Is it not a team event? No.
No.
It's just a regular tournament. It's just
a tournament.
I got it.
Whoever finishes
gold,
first,
silver,
second,
bronze.
Third. But they don't do it.
All right, I misunderstood because I seen like all the U.S. players and they were like Team USA on there.
There's only
technically
players that make
they
it.
They are on
are
Team USA,
it.
But it's like running the 100-meter dash.
When they walk in at the opening ceremonies, there's going
to
be
It needs to be like gymnastics where you have like singles competitions and team competitions.
That's what I said. It would be the perfect opportunity to make it like the Ryder Cup and have, you know, have a team competition for like 3 days, and then I swear, do a team competition for 3 days, and then you take the top player off of each team, play 18 holes, first, second, and third.
And if there's a putt if there's a playoff or something.
But I think that they really missed the boat with an opportunity. And maybe they will end up doing that.
Soon enough, I'm telling you.
Maybe they'll end up doing that in the future. I hope that they do.
Let's send an email to the Olympic Committee.
By God.
Or the Enhanced Games guys, and we can get steroid golfers out there.
Now that's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. We'll put it on the Enhanced Games guys. And
I'm trying to get Golden Tee in the Olympics.
We could get Tom Bertitotti from on there. He could get on some steroids and yank that ball.
But we were talking about the basketball tournament, and we're watching it right now.
Yeah, baby. Elam ending coming up. Who's Elam?
He's the smart guy. He's the guy that came up. He's from Indiana.
I love that guy. I want to get his autograph.
With this idea, and we talked about it last year, I think the Elam ending should be adopted into every level of basketball.
It's the greatest thing ever.
I want the Benders ending where
you
just
throw
the ball
and
go home.
Hey, Travis, I want the Elam ending in golf.
Some of our fans want that too.
What about the Elam ending in golf? I mean, put it in anything. I mean,
honestly, it could apply to all kinds of shit.
It could apply to everything, and it does give the team that's not playing that as good.
Well, from the basketball standpoint, for people that don't know, in this tournament, the Elam ending is
tournament.
It comes down after there's 4 minutes to go in the game. There is no more game clock. They add 8 points to the score of the team that's ahead, and that is now the target score. So, for instance, we're watching.
And they don't add it to their score. They add it at the top of both scores. Right?
No,
so
no,
you
no,
can
no.
see what you're going at.
No, so like if Team A is up 70 and Team B has 60,
whoever scores
the target score
first.
Will be 78.
Right, but what I'm saying is the target score is at the top. They didn't add
this
it
is
to
clear
the
as
Eberlund
mud
drive.
The way we're walking
no,
through this
Freddie,
right now.
Freddie, you're confusing. They add
me,
8 points. They add 8 points to the team that is winning with 4 minutes to go. That's your target score. Whoever scores 82 points now first wins.
Right. But I mean they list it with the topic target score.
For you who are listening.
Yes, they do list it with the topic target score.
Yes.
For you who are
my
listening,
God.
If the score is 75 to 68 at the end of regulation, they put a target score of 83 up there, and that first team to 83 wins the game.
Yes.
So the other team
no
has
matter
to come
what.
Back.
So yes. You better have some stops. You better get some calls.
So the great thing is,
like U of L, like the Ville did last night.
They didn't want to lose them ticket sales, buddy.
Dude.
The great thing is every game ends with a made basket. That's what they're going for.
Right, right.
And if you're like, wearing Pumas, you get an extra $1,000.
In this game, team that's playing IU has to make one basket now.
Well, let's talk about the Ville here.
Yeah, that was
last night.
Awesome.
The Ville was down. What were they? They needed, the other team needed, at one point, the Ville needed 8 points to catch up.
That was the
Yeah, yes. And the other team needed eventually just a two-point basket. Just a two-point.
We had five straight
stops. And literally U of L had five straight stops. There were some shady calls, let's be real. Not home cooking, but bottom line is what I figured out about this tournament and watching several other games too, and some last year, is the home team has got an advantage because those refs ain't walking out of a crazy environment.
I don't even think it's that, Fred. I just think that, these officials just don't call anything.
No, and that's true. They don't call.
Crazy about last night.
That's what I love about it.
The ball, the play on the at the other end of the court, it clearly went out of bounds, in my opinion, off of Montrezl Harrell.
Yes.
They called it off of sideline cancer. So then they go to the replay.
I don't know. It did go off his elbow. We're not sure if it did or not.
I'm pretty sure that touched Montrezl.
Really?
Yeah,
I don't think they
do. I'm surprised that you guys are questioning that.
I
think it was very clear.
I thought 1,000% it went off the other team.
I think you were.
I thought it was a thousand. I have no dog in this fight.
I do not agree, Travis. They didn't have enough evidence to change the call.
I thought there was no question that it went off.
I think the ref even said, "I'm not going back and turning this over."
I
think that it was obvious that he seen it on the board because it touched Harrell.
I don't think so. I think it went right off that guy's fingertips, and then it.
What about the player for team that he went? He takes it to the hole and dishes it to the guy wide open. Granville Waiters over there to shoot the three.
he just stood there for 5 seconds.
Ball-headed Larry, and when he went out of bounds, three dudes took him. Only out, no foul.
And I'm telling you,
I loved it, dude.
If you've been watching this tournament, like. I think that they could almost tell these guys, call your own fouls.
Right. Yeah.
It's almost like playing in playground.
That's what makes it legit. And then, of course, now did Montrez get fouled? Did he get fouled legitimately?
I think that actually was a blocking foul, but it wasn't a shooting foul. So I think it should have been one free throw and then possession of the ball.
I agree.
That's what I thought was going to happen, actually.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Like,
the fact that he got two shots was very confusing.
It was crazy.
I could see where that call could go both ways, but I think that was a blocking call.
So Montrezl Harrell, folks, ends up hitting both free throws, swishes the last one. Game over. Louisville comes back, has five stops. The other team cannot score 2 points. They score 8. 2 on the free throw line after some crazy non-calls. Now, that charge, oh, my Lord. I mean, for them to call the blocking foul.
Well, that's what we were just talking about.
But what I'm saying is, dude, that guy's feet were flat, and he was waiting for him from half court.
I don't know, man. He was just kind of swinging in there.
Hit the ground.
We just talked about that play.
I know. Yeah.
This is what I love about sports is that I saw that play, and I went, oh, yeah, there's no question that's a block.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was at.
His feet were still sliding.
I didn't see him sliding. I saw him flat.
Now, well, where they got that he was shooting the ball from, that's beyond me.
So they go on to win. He hits the free throws, and Freedom Hall goes wild.
When you come down here wearing a Wayne Turner jersey, your thoughts about any team with Louisville in their name is immediately taken with a grain of salt.
I'm wearing my L, baby. Come on. Hey, and dude, what about Griff in the stands? Coach Kels was there. Donovan Mitchell
I thought that was really neat.
Totally, I think the best thing
was seeing our new basketball team out there all together.
Yeah,
like,
together.
You would have never seen something like that.
Cool.
Like last year when we did TBT, that team wasn't out there.
Right.
You'd see a couple of the players like scattered throughout. But
popcorn,
no.
Yeah.
They were all
in the
together.
Bathroom.
They're out there doing cards chants. We got some kid that's a freshman who never even played. You know what I mean? He's out there leading card chants. So,
right.
I don't know. I think that's cool. But it's stuff that we haven't had here in a long time.
But no, and we're La Familia, folks. The UK team is getting ready. Who won the second game is what I wanted, because those two teams look tough.
That was all right. It's Team State DRC is who Louisville's going to play tomorrow
Colorado
night.
Colorado and
that's
Wichita.
Dominic Rogers Cromartie, who some of you may know as an NFL
quarterback.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. It's his team.
Which team won?
DRC.
And Colorado team?
No. We're talking about something totally different.
You're
now.
Talking about who Louisville's going to play. That was the second game last night.
Yeah, the second game last night.
Okay, you watched. No, that was from a different region.
Oh.
That was from the Wichita region.
Oh.
The other team that played after we did last night was DRC and, God, I forget the team that they played. But. Oh, Jimmer Fredette's team. Team Fredette.
That was a great game.
Yeah,
too.
It was. And Darius Washington, former Memphis player, who missed the free throws. He's on this team. And
no
he,
way.
And he has to be like 40-something years old.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Like,
golly, that happened.
Yeah, 2005?
Yeah, I was going to.
Yeah.
Maybe even before that.
Okay.
I was bartending at Shenanigans when
I was living
happened.
In Louisville then, and I think I had just moved back from Indianapolis around then.
Yeah,
so,
that was probably right around that time. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was that's who we're playing tomorrow night, which it's just a bunch of random dudes, too. Names you would not know of except for those two guys.
Right.
So
if you're watching this game, they've scored 8 unanswered, and they're within 6.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what makes this tournament cool is that you don't have the endless fouling and the parade to the free throw line. Guys have to make buckets.
Now,
and I love it.
We do have this scenario. If Kentucky's team, which I hate calling them by their team name, that team name drives me nuts.
I don't like it either.
Like, I don't know
Ooh,
what's
La
happening.
La Familia?
Yes, that's.
It reminds me of
wait a minute, wait a minute. What, like, by what power is it more annoying when Freddie says it?
it's because of,
with my Kentucky dunks on.
It's the way he leans into the mic.
Know,
he gets a Popeye eye, and he talks like sensual like.
I know.
La Familia.
I mean, that's the thing that struck me immediately. I was like, that name never bothered me before until I heard him say
especially
it.
With an MJ gold chain on, right?
Now
yeah,
that I've,
baby.
Now that I've heard him say it, I'm like, they have to change this name immediately.
Yeah, but if they win their game tonight against Herd, that
the thundering
Marshall
Herd
thundering
team
Herd
is really good.
Former card Jared
and
West will be
Shaq
out there.
What about Shaq Diesel's team getting spanked?
But what
I'm
getting to, if Kentucky wins theirs and Louisville wins theirs tomorrow night, we would have a matchup in Freedom Hall.
Freedom Hall. What day?
With those two.
I'm going to that.
I'm thinking it would be this weekend.
Yeah, I'm
like
going
maybe
to
even
that.
Friday or Saturday. God, I think that ticket is going to be hard to get.
It's going
to
be high dollar.
It's going to sell out quick, and it's kind of going to be kind of wild, man.
Oh, it'll be
And your
wild.
Boy Ray John Rondo was there last night.
I wish it was Sunday.
Boo.
I've got plans this weekend, and if it's Friday,
if that
I'm
ends up
take
happening,
Clayton,
I'm going. I don't care what happens.
It might be if it's Friday. I say we all go.
Yeah,
I'm all in. If we,
I'll be there.
Yeah,
1,000%.
Bring Clayton.
I will have to.
I've watched a lot of this tournament. Obviously, I've watched a lot of the Indiana team at Hinkle, which has been a great environment. Super cool. The Wichita State game last night. Great environment. Super cool. But nothing touches. As far as I'm concerned, the energy and the volume level that we saw at Freedom Hall. I mean, I think even the announcers were like, man, it sounds like a March Madness game.
Well, first
of
all, let's talk about the announcers. John Fanta, like, just from watching Big East basketball this year, he's one of my favorites.
Yep.
That guy's awesome. And then put right next to David Pageant. Who I thought was great.
Yeah,
you know,
Padgett's good.
He stares at the camera. Well, that started out a little early. It was a little awkward, but then he settled in and he was just calling it as he was.
Really
and
good.
He was. He's got might have a career in that if he wants it.
Yep.
And but I think what it is with Louisville, you've got like we're all basketball junkies around here, and like we've been on withdrawal for 2 straight years, and you're giving us a little something, and then we're all buying into it, but. I think it'd be fun as hell to go Friday night. If it's Friday, I don't know. So tomorrow's Wednesday. It would be they'd probably have Thursday off and then play Friday.
Well, if it ends up working out like that, I'm totally.
Well,
going.
Let's get the victory, La Familia.
But I was gonna say, let's make sure that Lowell's gotta get sure there that, too. Let's make sure that everybody wins, and then we can get to that. This Indiana team has gone on some crazy run.
They're on a run right now.
Eric, can I say one complaint I have with TBT?
Yes.
Where that there's a rule, or not a rule, but like an incentive. So if you put some Puma tennis shoes on,
oh yeah,
and you make the game-winning shot, you get $1,000.
That's right.
So what you see is all these guys that are switching over into Pumas and jacking the ball up at the very end, and it drives me nuts,
dude. I swear, Tuna, last night when they were like, well, here's the guys that are wearing Pumas right now, I go, well, those are the four dudes that are going to be shooting every time down the court. And I absolutely thought that. And you're totally right. If you're wearing, like, the balls, and maybe as it gets later in the tournament, $1,000 isn't going to be, but early in the tournament.
In the championship game, it's $10,000.
Oh, well, then Christ. The guy with the Pumas will shoot it 50 times
imagine,
in a row.
Imagine, I can envision a scenario where Russ Smith is wearing Pumas at the end of the championship, and he blows $1 million for his entire team because he's jacking up from 8 feet behind the line.
He'd probably get a Puma tattoo on his calf or something.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Basketball tournament has been great. That's a cool discussion right there. Fred, I'm going to ask you, where do you want to go next as the de facto host of this program?
What do you mean?
Host Freddie. Host and moderator.
Where would you like to go next? What topic would you like to talk? Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, I know. He wants to go straight to ACC football or ACC media day.
Well, at some point I do want to, not tonight,
but I think
we ought to school our people in other countries or whatever about the college football new format, new
I would love to do
that
right
going
now.
On.
Honestly.
Not all the schools and how good they're going to be.
No, the rule changes.
Just the rule changes in the format or We
got a 2-minute warning this year.
We have a top 10 that we're supposed to do at some point that we're working on, and we should let everyone know this so they could get their top 10 together of some of the greatest rivalries.
Yes, and
that in sports, period.
One of these days, we're going to get to that when we're not.
I kind of got an idea for that when we do it.
I think it'd be fun if we give all 10 of them. Check us out.
I feel like if we just did like a draft where like we selected like a random order, like Travis, you know, we'll draw numbers and then like I'll select like five of my, like we'll go around. I'll go first, like pick my rivalry onto you, you know, just like a draft.
So,
and we'll do like five rounds.
The idea is everybody's going to come up with like 10 or whatever of your favorite greatest rivalries in sports history, whether it be we're gonna put a draft together. I would love to hear from some listeners, so please reach out on social media and give us some of your ideas. We'll throw them in there
because Freddie's not gonna say Bama Auburn. I'm gonna get detailed here, folks.
Well,
we know that's the greatest rivalry already, but I'm gonna go ahead and get seriously detailed. Like that won't even be mentioned anymore.
We're here. Let's just start talking about it a little bit.
But
like, give them a teaser.
But yeah,
well, I think it'd be nice to do a draft when where it hasn't even been mentioned. Like I could say one that you guys haven't even thought about.
I definitely want to do it in a draft scenario.
Yeah,
I think you
awesome.
And I talked about that last week off. Oh, the R team just finally won. The Indiana team had like 10 stops in a row, and Eberlin Drive just won.
Target score was 82. Indiana was down 68-80, and the final score is 82-79.
Yeah.
That's the Elam ending, baby.
Yep, that was fun.
I do like where they grab their team name off the bracket, and they go put it up on the big bracket
on
the wall.
That's and a... the
The big guy board, that wins it does it.
And the big board on the wall looks just like the All-Valley Karate Tournament
it
and
does.
The Karate Kid. They do it that
does,
way on purpose. Yeah.
Speaking of Karate Kid and weird-looking people, did you want to talk about Joe Burrow's hair?
I love Joe Burrow's hair.
Eminem.
He reminds me of
Cody Rhodes.
Cobra Kai. He's got a Cody Rhodes look. He's got a Billy Idol look. He's got a DePaul from Argentina look. He is a warrior.
He looks dead
coming,
like Cody Rhodes.
He's coming to Christmas Card Country down there in KC.
He looks like he drives like
where
a
everybody's soft this
like
year.
A neon green Honda Civic with like a fart pipe on it or something. Like that's what he looks like. But you know, to each their own. He looks okay. I'm sure.
Do we want to talk about the new changes in the FB in the
CFP? Yeah, let's get into some of the rules.
Okay, so got people, folks. We're going to talk about the CFP. We're getting so close to college football. We are junkies. That is our niche. And you know, a lot of people are going to go, yeah, I already know what they are, but do you really know what all of them are? And have they been discussed thoroughly, for a 10, 15 minute frame time, time frame? But let's start it off, Tuna, and then I'll turn it to you guys. But the college football playoff, is a 12 team format now. Everybody pretty much knows that. Where 12 teams are going to go at it. So you've got the five highest ranked conference champs in the Power Four. Correct? So now you have a Power Four has been created. What is the Power Four, Tuna?
That would be the Big 12, the ACC.
Are you really going to start with them? Okay.
The Big 10 and the Mountain West.
No, that's not right.
Oh.
Are you sure, Fred?
I'm pretty sure that's it.
The SEC, that sounded the ACC, right. Yeah. The Big 12, and the Big 10. A lot of people are unaware on here that the Pac-12 does not exist anymore.
Actually, it does. They had a media days and everything. That's for real. And they're
okay.
No, I'm serious. No, and the bowl games are still tied there.
Right. The bowl games are still tied.
So go back to the format though. 12 teams make it. So what's the format?
Well,
bracket look like?
Well, before we get
basically
to that,
it's just
15 teams in Division I in the NBA move to new conferences. 15 teams move to new conferences. That is unheard of.
It's not. It's been going on
so
for a while.
So you've got the five highest ranked conference champions, okay? They make the 12-team playoff format, and seven at-large teams will also make the
field. Highest rated group of five.
Right. The highest rated group of five.
Will get in. So even if they're ranked
21st. Highest ranked conference champs.
Isn't it four of the highest ranked
conference? It's four champs, but it's a fifth person that could be in the same conference.
There's a fifth one. That's the big kicker there that people
who is
don't
it?
Know about.
What conference?
Well, it'll be probably – that one will take a spot of the highest ranked conference or the highest ranked group of five because – but hold on. If you're telling me if like Tulane goes completely undefeated and then they lose the Conference USA or the AAC championship game – and they're still higher ranked than, like, Liberty, they would still get in. Because it's the highest ranked group of five, from my understanding, right? It's the four main conference champions.
I have it listed on ESPN right here, and that is exactly how they word it.
Okay. And you're right, though. It's the highest ranked of the other conferences after that.
Yes. Five highest-ranked conference champs and seven at-large teams will make up the field. That's how they have it listed. So there are, but there are scenarios, because that's what I wanted to talk about.
I think I just talked about one.
Well,
that's
you
a little
did.
Wild. Yeah.
That's a huge scenario. There are going to be situations where that Notre Dame comes into play, that other teams come into play that may.
Notre Dame's never going to be a situation. I think they're always going to get in every single year, just because they want the money that they're going to get. Like, I think Notre Dame's going to have three losses probably on an annual basis and still make a 12-team playoff.
Okay, I don't think Notre Dame's going to have three losses this year.
Well, probably not this year, but, like, they've had three losses almost every year for how long? And it's, I mean.
Before you go to individual teams, though, there's some people out there that don't read this stuff. They want to know. So, what does the bracket look like? I know what it looked like, but I want you to explain what it looks like.
Well, I don't have the bracket out in front of me, but I was suspecting that Tuna was ready for the bracket.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I knew that was coming.
You're the bracketologist.
Well, 5-8.
I don't know, man. You're the you're Freddie Brackets. You're going to be our college football Joey Brackets. Freddie Brackets.
Play each other. Those top four are the power conference winners.
We can say that UCLA and we can say USC have now joined the Big Ten. Correct, Travis?
Correct.
They are in the Big Ten. We
and
can say
Oregon.
And Oregon.
And Washington.
And Washington. So, and that's four powerhouses, man. And then you can say that Texas, and you can say that Oklahoma have joined the SEC. Tuna, has anyone joined the ACC?
Boy, that's a question of the night right there.
I would like to welcome the three newest members to the Atlantic Coast Conference. California,
Idaho,
Stanford, and Southern Methodist University.
Okay, but hey, look.
I'm honestly excited about SMU getting in.
SMU's been pretty good for a couple
years. They say Southern Methodist has as much money as some of these other big-time schools that have been in the playoffs.
Of course.
They are obviously trending up. Stanford is trending down, except for their 58-point comeback victory over Colorado. I still want to. Oh, my God. Don't even get me started. Cal, I think Cal is a legitimate, can be a team that's fun.
No, never. No, Aaron Rodgers and Jared Goff aren't walking through that door anymore.
Home of Aaron Rodgers and Jason Kidd and Jaylen Brown. Other than that,
yeah, no, I don't look for much out of Cal. SMU actually brings something to the table here. Sure. I will say Cal and Stanford. If you're looking for any other sport besides the ones that make profit, they're great. You know,
right.
They're non-revenue sports. They literally crush it in everything except for men's basketball and football.
Okay, who are the teams that join the Big 12, Tuna? Can you help us with that?
You got your corner state. So you got Utah,
Johnny,
Colorado, Arizona, and Arizona State.
Arizona.
You know what? I really like this Big 12 conference.
Dude, the Big 12's going to be crazy. That's what
Kansas
no one's
State
talking about.
Is going to be a blast to watch this year.
Yeah.
The Pop-Tart Bowl champions.
Hey, they got the quarterback. We've seen him play. We know they're going to be good. Their coach is obviously rising big time. I think the Big 12 is a underrated conference that no one's talking about right now.
I don't think they're underrated. I think everybody realizes they're the third best power conference.
We have your quarterback coming back to Utah this year healthy.
Yeah, Cam Rising. We'll see.
Cam Rising. So you've got all those. So how many schools are in the Big 12 now? How many did you say?
Well, what was there?
So there were eight, nine.
I don't know. They added four. They added four.
12?
So at 16.
Okay.
Because Central Florida, Cincinnati, BYU joined it last year, and Houston. So I think that's 16. So.
And is there any conference that we're missing? So we're not talking about the seven at-large teams to make the field. That can be from anywhere.
Yeah, but there's, like, not really a world where you're going to have a lot of, Mountain West or MAC teams right. ranked over a three loss, four loss SEC team.
Right. Last year you had like teams like George Madison, like, SMU.
Liberty,
really good. Liberty.
Liberty was the big one last year that they said would have gotten into the 12-year or 12-team playoff if it did happen.
Who can ever forget the American Patriot George Madison?
What? Who's George Madison? What am I missing?
Fred just said we had teams like George Madison.
Oh, James Madison. George Madison. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. James Madison. And, of course, I love Dolly Madison, little snack cakes.
Okay.
No, sorry. I did that was a mistake. I meant to say James Madison.
Yeah, but, like, one of those teams will get in. I don't see a world where, like,
George Madison. But Richard Madison was the master blaster.
Yeah, you're not going to have Boise State and Liberty both make the 12-team playoff.
Right,
it's only going to be one, which is
right.
I mean, there may be one day. I don't know. They'd have to schedule like crazy non-conference, and we know that teams in power conferences are
not. They're not
going to
do that.
These non-conference.
Okay, let's talk about
nip that conversation real quick, didn't you?
Yeah. Let's talk about how.
I have something very interesting to bring up. Go into
and yeah, Central Florida, go eat one. You're not doing nothing. I don't want to.
All right.
Nah, they still claim that they
so don't look at your phones. Don't look at your phones. Don't look at your iPad. Let me ask you this. So the top four teams get a bye. 5 plays 12, 6 plays 11.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Out of those winners of that 5 through 12, there's four winners. Who plays the number one team? Do you know what game that is?
It would be the 5-12 winner?
It's the 8-9, and it's set. They do not get reseeded. Okay. That's what I was trying to get into. People do not understand how that works.
That. Right, right. So the 8-9, and that's going to be one hell of a game at somebody's venue. I'm trying to figure out how they figure out, is it a seeding, how they figure out whose venue you go to? And when does it become a open venue where you're no longer at that team's
I guarantee house? There's going to be a lot of backdoor money that involves who hosts it, because there's no world where Liberty will host a first round playoff game.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you can only sell.
But they're not going to be a high seed like that either.
There's a chance. I mean, you never know. Like, Louisville finished 1 year and Conference USA at number 6.
Yeah,
you know what
true.
I mean? So it's
I've got
possible.
A listing of the way it would have went down last year if you want to hear 5 through 12.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number 5 Florida State would have played number 12 Liberty. This is this last year. Number 6 Georgia would have played Ole Miss. Number 7 Ohio State would have played number 10 Penn State, and number 8 Oregon would have played number 9 Missouri.
Interesting.
Wow. So the number one seed would have got Oregon or Missouri right out. Yeah. God bless, man.
And what
this is going to be so freaking fun,
dude.
The way they're looking at that is all the high seeds are going to win every game. Well, you know what? That's not going to happen.
No, that's not going to happen.
So they do not reseed going into that second round, which most people do not know that.
Now, let me ask this. Are injuries going to play a factor in your seeding? Because it played a factor in who got in the Final Four last year.
That's true. Yes.
Like, they blatantly, openly said, we're taking injuries into account.
There's going to be people unhappy.
But Florida State finished 5th at the end of the season before the playoffs.
Yeah, I know. But they should have been 4th because they were completely undefeated. You know what I mean? The reason that they dropped down to 5 is because their quarterback got hurt.
I will tell you this, with 12 teams in, that's not going to be a factor anymore, because 11 and 12 are going to get in, and people are going to argue, sure.
Yeah.
But if you miss it by one or two spots, you're still getting in.
No, but it could matter on who hosts the home game is what I'm kind of getting at there.
True.
And that's where I see some of that coming into play.
But I think after the first round, it's not home games anymore, right?
No, it's not, but obviously hosting a home game is massive.
True.
Just like the revenue that would bring in just for your school alone. I know SEC doesn't think about that because they're making enough revenue anyway.
I think it's shared between the 12 teams, all the revenue for the whole thing.
Well, but, like, you're still going to make more revenue if you're hosting an event. Like, that's – I mean,
as far as concessions.
Oh, yeah, everything there.
Parking.
Yeah, hotels. Your city's right. going to make a lot off of it. Your university's right. going to just, anyway. But I don't know. I hate to get into like bitching about it already and getting mad about it.
No, we're not.
I think it's
going to
be awesome, and
it's
I can't wait.
Be great, dude.
And really, if you get left out of the top 12, you weren't going to win a national championship anyway.
That's
so suck
right.
it.
So like, really, it doesn't matter. Go suck an egg.
So, yeah. So after that first round, the when five place 12.
God, I hope Alabama finishes 13th.
That'd be great.
I mean, I can't wait.
They might be lucky to finish
13
this year.
I don't have amnesia, but when has that ever happened?
Get used to it, buddy.
Well, I decided the weeping and gnashing of teeth would be one of the greatest moments in the history of this podcast.
13th. I've never been out of the top 10.
You already blocked the Mike Shula years out,
years.
Didn't you? You already forgot about
God
Mike Shula.
Dang.
Didn't Saban go like 5-6 his first year?
Well, yeah, okay, 17 years I haven't been out of the top 10. Sorry.
You haven't been out of the top 10.
Buddy, I'm in everyone's top 10.
Top 10 most wanted.
Wait a minute, Travis, hold on. Travis, since you mentioned it, in that four-team era, SEC has six titles and 12 teams in the field, both records.
Well,
so they would be the favorites moving into this new.
Now we'll get to see how they do against other competition, and you don't put two in a four-team playoff.
Right.
So
right.
It's going to be interesting to watch. I guess we're going to probably year in and year out have Michigan and Ohio State in there. Well, Oregon and Washington bring something to the Big Ten
they
that
do.
Hasn't had the past couple years. So
they do.
I just want Iowa in there.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
Oh, yeah.
I mean if Indiana can't make it, I want Iowa to get in that playoff and just turn the game into a 6-3, 42 punts.
Didn't they hire like a crazy offensive coordinator?
I don't know.
I think we may – hold on. This might just be a nuts year.
I still can't imagine Ferentz just going, all right, we're gonna play the air raid offense this year.
Tim Lester.
I thought Iowa's head coach retired. Is this going to be his last year?
No, he didn't retire. He just fired
his
no-account son.
Yeah.
Yep. God.
Yeah, Tim Lester. I don't know, but I think he was like a analyst for the Packers and was a quarterbacks coach for Purdue. But I don't know. I heard he's some big offensive guy.
Well,
so.
Nothing would make me happier than if Iowa just came out the first game and they just go five wide the entire game.
I don't think
like that. Like
they don't have the personnel for
I
that.
I swear, like. If they do that, I'm buying an Iowa football jersey.
Yeah, they're. I would just like to see the confusion on the players' faces. Like they would have no idea what to do.
Oh God. So that's just a little bit of a tease as to what we're going to get into as we move
it's
forward,
great.
Closer to college football. As we just mentioned. Things are going to be a little bit different. And as the season gets closer to starting and as we kind of figure out exactly how things are going to happen, I just can't wait. What are we
Dude,
like?
We're going to break down teams. We're going to break down conferences.
What are
we're
we like gonna... 35, 40 days from the kickoff?
I think till week zero there's it's four more Saturdays without football, I believe.
Travis, did you all have
Florida State and Georgia Tech in Ireland opening up this season.
That's beautiful.
At noon on August 24th, I believe. Okay. And it's as of right now, get on it early. Georgia Tech is a 13-point underdog.
Love
and
them.
I think they can win this
love
game.
Yeah,
I love
too.
This Georgia Tech team
I
this
too.
Year. Brett Key is
yes.
money.
And that's another little teaser. Wait until college football really starts to crank up, and we will get totally
betting.
Back into our betting.
We will be into
scenario.
Hardcore betting. Were you able to watch the Saturday Night Lights? I thought it was interesting because it isn't. It was about the SEC, but theoretically, that's where it was a history of night football, basically from the get go, from the when football started, and a lot of it happened from the SEC. Baton Rouge is pretty much the home hometown of night football. They played every game at night.
Probably because it was too damn hot.
Partly some of that is of part of it, but lights are. If you all haven't seen that Saturday Night Lights, it's real cool. It's not all SEC oriented. It is SEC oriented, but there's great stories. A lot. One of the great stories is what happened at Vanderbilt. There's a Georgia Clemson game that comes into play with Herschel. The Auburn game is insane. I showed y'all pictures of that where it looks like the stadium's getting ready to burn down.
I tried to watch some of it, but it's like the way it was set up was all these different series of it. So is there going to be multiple episodes of it? It's not.
No, it's just one story.
They
thing.
Had it listed weird. And
it
I couldn't
an
watch
hour,
it.
And man, Travis, that brought me to Ron Franklin and Mark Gottfried. Mike Gottfried.
Yeah.
Gottfried was an Alabama basketball coach for a while, wasn't he?
Mark Gottfried was the head coach and played point guard for Bama back in the day.
Yeah.
But Mike Gottfried was a past Pittsburgh Panthers coach, and Ron Franklin was this big old gray-haired George Hamilton looking guy, and they did the first SEC games. Do you not remember them, Tuna? Ron Franklin.
The guys that
the
called
games.
The very first SEC games?
Well,
they did
the SEC game of the week was on ESPN, and then they just started doing, after a while, just a Thursday game of the week on ESPN. And Ron Franklin was the main guy that did it, and Adrian Karsten was the sideline guy, and they were fantastic.
Yeah.
Those games.
They called a bunch of Louisville games because we used to play on Thursday
Louisville
night all the time.
Played on Thursday night back in the day. And, man, just to see how night games have come from that, from out of all that, and seeing the history of it is pretty neat. I thought the show was really cool.
What are you watching that on, Fred?
That's on the SEC Network, and it's running as an SEC storied it's like a 30 for 30. It's just an hour-long documentary, but it's pretty neat. And they don't really even hit on a lot of the new stuff. It's really back in the days of how they created it. Getting lights put in the stadium. Vince Dooley, all kinds of different coaches, what their thought process. Bear Bryant is mentioned a lot in there. In a game with Vanderbilt that's so cool. Vanderbilt beats Bama in that game, Travis, which you will love to hear the story about. So, but anyways,
sounds riveting.
That'll get you fired up for some football if you watch that doc.
Now the Olympics start. Is the opening ceremonies are this Friday? Is that correct?
I believe so. Tuna like 1:30 p.m.
Didn't you bring your javelin with you tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
It's Yudoshi Yamamoto.
You know what a javelin is?
The one that he
is?
Worked out in spring training. Yes.
What is a javelin?
It's a big dart that you throw out in the open.
It's a big old long broomstick with a point on it.
If you would watch the Dodgers training camp, then you would know spring training. That our pitcher worked out with him.
We just lost all our javelin fans.
I would like to see a javelin. I think it would be cool if you're watching the Olympics, Travis.
It obviously
to
doesn't work.
See what all these people
our entire pitching
are
staff's
actually
hurt.
Using. I want to look and see what a shot put looks like. I want to see what a javelin looks like. I want to go walk up to a. What do you call it?
It's a ball. What are you talking about?
A shot put
looks
like a
cannonball.
I've never seen what one looks like.
A shot put?
No, never seen it.
It's a little steel cannonball.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's it.
It's nothing exciting.
I would like to go up to some of these things and see what the jump track, the high jump track actually looks like. how far away it is to really see. I think it would be cool to go to like
go to Manual
Collegiate.
go to Floyd Street.
Yeah,
Cardinal Park is right there.
Yeah, there's tons of places you could go look at that stuff.
I go see an Olympic pool, dog. I can do that. I get you.
I mean, but it's like you can get an idea of what they're doing with the shop.
I didn't know y'all were shish kebabbing meat and peppers.
Man, I'd like to really get a look at a football field and see what that looks like.
I didn't know that you knew what a freaking javelin looked like, and I don't believe that you do.
Didn't they have a track team at your high school?
Well, but I didn't go watch them play.
You never walked out on the track or had to run on the track?
Never.
Did you guys not have field day?
You didn't listen to Tuna.
Never.
There's a pitcher for the Dodgers in preseason this year. He was throwing javelin.
Well, yeah, but Tuna wasn't at camp with the Dodgers, for God's sake. He's sitting in there watching the U.S. The British Open eating ravioli.
No, he wasn't watching the British Open. He clearly said that earlier.
He hasn't been out there.
I have no idea what's going on right now.
I don't either. Like, Freddie.
Let's get in the Olympics.
Freddie's on a different planet tonight.
No.
I don't even know what's happening.
No, I'm just saying that you don't know.
I watched this documentary. It was called Olympics Under the Lights, where it was just they played at night and then they turned the lights on and they threw shot puts and javelins. But
how about
they couldn't see it because it was nighttime?
How about the
hammer? But it's on like Olympic story. It's like a 30 for 30.
Shot puts out of a cannon?
Yeah.
Okay.
How about the hammer?
Yes.
What's the hammer
look
like?
Now, that is one thing
I've actually never seen
up close.
I don't think they do it in high school anymore, and I'm pretty sure they don't do it in college anymore.
I know what a discus looks like.
I don't know what a discus looks like. Tuna, you know what a baton looks like? Have you ever held a real Olympic baton?
It's hollow.
Is it aluminum?
I don't know.
Is it alloy? Is it titanium?
I don't know. And not one of those would like make my life any different than it is now.
Okay, I find it interesting. I do. Olympics.
Well, I tell you what.
I find the Olympics interesting.
If we go to the games Friday, I'll bring a baton and let you hold it the entire game.
Please do. I'll hand it back.
I'll give
you.
Clayton a javelin.
Okay.
Which is probably a great idea.
Probably 12 foot long.
Yes.
I think you should give him a discus.
Yeah.
What I was gonna say before all of this started is that the opening ceremonies are Friday, and next week we will have a much better understanding of what events are happening when, and some athletes to look at. Maybe
you ever seen a water polo ball?
No.
I think it'd be cool as shit just to hold one for a little bit. Just to have it and hold it for a little bit.
I would love to see a water polo.
I think it's a volleyball.
I think it's smaller than a volleyball.
It's a little smaller than a volleyball. But other than that, it's just like a volleyball.
And going, man, you know, they can really palm this thing. I can.
You know who the.
Do you really want to hold a shuttlecock?
No.
Okay.
No. Is that a birdie?
The. The ambassador for the American water polo team is this year.
LeBron?
No, he's carrying
the
flag.
Flav and Snoop are
that makes total sense. When I think of water polo, I
Flava
think about Flav and
there's a great thing
Snoop.
For any listeners that haven't seen it, just Google it on YouTube of Flava Flav playing some water polo with the with the Olympic team. It's very very funny.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Also, the Red Lobster ambassador, Flavor Flav.
Red. Oh, is he the ambassador?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Cheddar biscuits.
Yeah.
Aren't they closed?
But, dude, I'm telling you, the Olympics are going to have Snoop. He's one of the guys that's going to be on there. And I have heard through the grapevine that he is going to be around all these areas going, look, dog, it's what a javelin looks like. I'm not kidding.
They're not going to let Snoop anywhere near
a
javelin.
No, he is. Travis, have you heard that he's kind of like a sideline guy?
They're going to have him doing some, like, human interest stories.
Yes, human interest stories.
Wasn't he doing something for, like...
Well, hell, he's doing something in everything.
The All-Star game of something, or he was...
Dude,
it was like a Manning cast, but with Snoop Dogg.
He's now the freaking chairman of Dockers. He's the now
Dockers.
Dockers. Yeah.
Isn't it Skechers?
I mean Skechers. Sorry, not Dockers.
Those people that wear Skechers. Them, I mean, you we buy one, you're buying
that.
The other.
We talked about that. It's awesome.
And Corona.
But Travis, I am kind of pumped up for the Olympics because they have done the, and I know they do it, have done it in the past where they kind of do a, like your Dave, like you just started the show with, your campaign with Reebok. And it gets people, it spurs people's interest. And I think what they've done this year is really cool. I think that they've really been pushing it. I like their campaign on getting people involved in the Olympics. They're getting young people involved to watching it and things of that. And obviously the Olympics, in my opinion, has always been a family event that you sit with your family and you watch. You know, it's just, it's all, especially the Summer Olympics.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to do, and that's the thing, once the schedules come out, because I love, like, Olympic boxing, I love the track and field, I'm super interested in the basketball, which anybody that's watched the warm-up games, for lack of a better term, that the United States has played, they need to get better. They need to get better. They haven't lost yet, but they certainly have not been particularly impressive, especially in their last two wins. They should have been beaten by South Sudan. And
Carlick Jones had a triple-double in that game.
They could have been beaten by Germany, who is
played
a very
great.
Good, Germany's a very good basketball team. But I'm interested in that. The women's Olympic basketball team has been dominant for God knows what, the last 8 Olympics, I think. They've won 8 gold medals in a row. Track and field, swimming, all the weird stuff, the decathlon, the pentathlon. I love the long jump.
I love the volleyball and the beach volleyball.
Love that.
I like the volleyball, too.
I've held one of those.
So that's going to be great. Opening ceremonies Friday night. With all that being said, I think we're winding down to the end of the program tonight. And we are at the bar in the downstairs pub. And it's last call. And it starts with tuna.
All right, I got 2 things here. One, I know it's hard to tell by looking at me, but I'm not particularly a big fast food eater. I think it's disgusting. It's not real food. But
I think I might know where you're going with this.
I just found out earlier today that Louisville is getting a cookout.
And you know where it is?
Right up on Preston and Eastern Parkway.
Less than a mile from where we sit.
Is it where
right
the old
now.
Rallies was?
It's in that, yes.
Okay.
What's a cookout? The cooker?
It's a restaurant. It's like a homemade grill burger, hot dogs, like milkshakes, all this stuff. It tastes like real food. And I've wanted one for a while. Like, there's one in Frankfort. They're all over North Carolina. There's one in Lexington, I think, and
it's going to be right here in the neighborhood.
And we're getting one, so I'm pretty excited about that.
I saw that too, and I was pumped up about that as well.
Man, it's awesome.
And I'm the same as you. I'm not a fast food guy, but I will definitely give that. They have like 40 milkshakes.
Yeah, the menu's huge. Everything you could think of, like chili cheese dogs that are actually legit, not like some kind of crap. I don't know, but it's really good food. And then two, we're back onto another obscure sport. So I have Fubo, and what Fubo has been showing a lot of lately is bare knuckle boxing.
Oh Lord!
And this
oh,
is
God.
No, this is incredible, guys. And it's basically they do 5 2-minute rounds. You can't. You can tape your wrist up, but the tape can't come within 1 inch of your knuckle.
Okay.
And they make you stay engaged and fight. If you're tied up for more than like 10 seconds, they split you up. They call it what's called toeing the line, where your toes have to be facing in all the time to your opponent, and you have to be within so many feet of each other. There's no dancing around and avoiding. And you have to be a professional, either MMA fighter, Muay Thai fighter or kickboxer to even be allowed to compete in this. So there's some names that you may know that were former like UFC people and whatnot that fight in this bare knuckle box. There's over 350 people that fight in this league, and they have rankings and all that. I don't know. I just found out about it, but I think it's been going on for a while. There's a big event coming up August 3rd, I believe. And I think it was like, you know how they number the events, like UFC, like 80, whatever. This is something 36, like BKFC, I think is what it called. BKFC 36, I think. So, but they're showing it. It's all over Fubo TV. It's probably on other channels. I know they have an app you can get and stream, so it's worth checking out. It's right up there with slap fighting. So,
Freddie, last call.
Just wanted to let everyone know that I don't know if we didn't miss it last week, but we just got kind of running on other topics, and I wasn't really able to discuss the Haskell, which is one of the premier horse races that go on.
You ever held a
season.
Horse, a racehorse?
I have ridden a horse. Mm. Yes, I have. And I have silks and a little hat and goggles. I've seen all the real things. A crop. It's not a whip tuna. It's called a crop. Anyways, our buddy Danny kudos to him, and Dornick, who has now won two in a row and is showing that he is possibly the horse of the year. And he is striding for horse of the year.
Yep.
He beat a great field in the Haskell, mainly a horse that everybody was on named Mindframe, who came in second. Was shown that he was a little green still. Dornick has now won two in a row and is setting himself up for horse of the year thus far. This Saturday is the Jim Dandy. We have Sierra Leone, Fierceness, and Seize the Gray going against each other in a six-horse field. It's going to be fantastic. I'm actually really pumped for it. That's going to be at Saratoga, and we want to keep an eye on that. Let's see. Is Tuna's horse going to be in there? Yes. Pony Express. Mm. That's real original. Great pick, Tuna.
That's to welcome SMU
them.
Into the ACC.
Also, absolutely. Watch out for Torpedo Anna, who's still dominating fillies all over the
world. She won at Saratoga
country.
This weekend.
Yes. And also, Tuna, in case you didn't know, your horse Tappet Trice finally won again in a big race, which was good to see. Won by
I actually 10. Did a little handicapping and bet on Saratoga this
you
weekend.
You texted me.
I texted you to ask you something, and you didn't respond,
links.
And he ended up winning.
I think I was at the pool. What happened? Who'd you bet on?
I forget the name of the horse, but it won handily.
Well, it wasn't Dornick.
No,
it was in a race before that.
Mm-hmm. And Dornick didn't race at Saratoga, did he?
No.
I was just doing Saratoga betting.
Oh, okay. Finishing up, Travis, I just wanted to, speaking with the Olympics and so forth, and some of the WNBA is getting a lot of publicity, and I love all the players in the WNBA. Obviously, the sparring between the two draft picks that have come in to the WNBA. Angel Reese being one of them, Caitlin Clark being the other. There is, you know, the Olympics, this, that, and the other. I want to let everyone in the WNBA and the Olympics are coming up in the Olympics to know that the best women's player in the world, easily the best women's player in the world is none of those players.
Arike.
It is not Breanna Stewart, who I have already spoken on here about to say that she is a fantastic player and so and laying her legacy in the WNBA. But Asia Wilson is playing in the Olympics, and you better watch her play.
Well, let me ask you this real quick. Hang on, hang on. What about the WNBA All-Star Game, how they had the U.S. Women's Olympic team versus an All-Star team?
Right.
Okay.
And they do that a lot.
Okay, but I think it's wild that the team that didn't make the Olympics beat the Olympic team by 8 points.
Yeah, same thing happened 4 years ago.
It happens. It happens. Okay. I mean, you know, some people
maybe we should
out,
send that team.
Some people don't. You know, it's just a preliminary game leading up to it. But what I want to say is, folks, if you don't know who Asia Wilson is yet, because her name should come up as she is the number one overall greatest player in the world, female, and you need to watch her. I think in the WNBA, she's like 26, 16, four blocks, and her footwork and her, she is Karl Malone. When she shoots, she don't miss. Trust me.
Did she play in South Carolina?
I would pick somebody else to compare
to. You need to watch her. Hey, I watched her play in two games a while back, a little, and she blew me away. I was like, oh, my God. And I know all the other players are great. Don't get me wrong. It's really a booming league, and it has been booming. And Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese are doing great things for her. But let's not forget, Angel Wilson is the greatest player in the WNBA, and you can see her in the Olympics. That's it.
Jody.
I don't know how to follow that, but hold on. So, you know, my friends down here are into slap boxing now, and I wanted to give them some breaking news. There's five new sports in the Olympics.
Uh-oh.
Slap boxing did not make it.
Dang it, Tuna.
But this is what did make it.
This Olympics lost.
Break dancing.
I got moves.
Kayak cross.
Which is awesome, by the way.
That is awesome. Kiteboarding.
What is a kiteboard?
It's
I'm guessing like a surfboard that you fly a kite with.
You basically hold on to a parachute, and it's kind of like a surfboard strap or a snowboard-ish strap to your feet.
Okay.
With a little fin on the bottom.
Have you ever seen one of them?
I have.
I just want to hold it.
I have in Dominican
I'm
Republic,
sure you
actually.
I've ridden one.
Marathon race walk mixed relay. And Freddie, the one.
Look, that's this, too.
I love watching that.
Here's the one Freddie's been dying and been an advocate to get in for years. Men's artistic swimming made it finally this year.
Artistic swimming?
Men's
artistic swimming. Okay.
That said, it's good to be back, and I appreciate your little sarcasm at the beginning of the show last week. That was a nice shout-out.
What was the sarcasm?
It's like, what are we going to do?
Oh, yeah. No, I was serious. That wasn't sarcasm. We were lost, Jody.
Yeah, where's our timer, Jody?
Yeah, you come back and you don't even have the timer up.
Timer's not sitting up there.
That's when we started.
I'm pretty sure we've been going for like four straight hours.
That's when we started. I forgot to plug
it in. Yeah.
Oh. That's when we started.
Oh, no, let him take the
blame. 8:47.
Anything else, Sparky?
Oh, one more thing. I did look this up. We are – every state, 46 states and D.C. have a – Poet Laureate. You're appointed every 2 years, and you can only do it one time. Guess what's open? What state's open right now?
I would say Kentucky
the
is.
The state of Kentucky.
We're wow. putting you up for it.
I was guessing
well,
Utah.
Maybe you can do some poetry and artistic swimming.
Next
and
week,
see
next,
how that comes together.
Next
see
week for the Olympics.
I just want to say, again, thanks to everybody that listens every week. Real quick. A couple of RIPs. One of my favorite entertainers of all times passed away this week. The age of 94, Bob Newhart, who I think was responsible for two of the greatest sitcoms in the history of network television.
Oh, yeah. Larry, Daryl, and Daryl.
Whether it be the 70s, Bob Newhart, or Newhart, or the 80s, the Bob Newhart show, or I think it was opposite of that. Newhart in the 80s, Bob Newhart show in the 70s. The greatest finale in the history of sitcoms was when Bob Newhart wakes up.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Well, if you haven't seen it since 1990, I think you've had enough time.
Had it on my watch list.
He wakes up, and the whole thing was a dream. Anyway, yeah, and then secondarily, something that actually hit me a little bit hard today, and I know Freddie is as well. I am a very adamant listener to PGA Tour Radio.
On XM, yes.
Especially when there's tournaments going on. When I'm out driving around, I listen to tons of golf on the radio. Sometimes I prefer it to watching it on television. And today, the news came down that a guy that I've been listening to ever since I've had my XM for close to 20 years, Mark Carnival, passed away unexpectedly at the age of 64. He was the lead announcer. Anybody that's listened to a golf tournament on Sirius XM radio in the last 20 years has heard him. He had a singular great voice, a great sense of humor, called golf on the radio as well as anybody ever has. And
had great people around him that were that really respected him, man.
And our thoughts and best wishes go out to everybody at PGA Tour Radio and the Sirius XM family. He will definitely be missed, especially by me. With that being said, for Mr. Electricity, Whiteboard Jody, the big fellow of the Tuna Country, Matt Kempf, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.